Yeah, it is. It's the lonely number, and it's the Phillies number. Welcome back. Midday show. Hopefully this is the last time we open a segment with the Phillies magic number, because it is stuck at one. Phillies lose last night, Hughes, so 2 days in a row, they have a chance to clinch the division in New York, and 2 days in a row, doesn't work out. Last night, they lose 2-1. Wheeler was really good, but they couldn't muster any offense after the first inning. So tonight, is tonight the night, Hugh Douglas? Back home against the Chicago Cubs, is tonight the night the Phillies wrap up the National League
East? It gotta be. Gotta be tonight.
Well, I hope it is, because tomorrow, I believe, is the bullpen slash Taiwan game.
So if it's
if it's not tonight, we might have to postpone this thing on ice till Wednesday. They're going to win the division. It was obviously, you know, annoying that they couldn't finish it this weekend. But more pressing to me, and we'll follow this as the week goes on, is they have now fallen a game behind the Dodgers for the number one seed. I mean, they're going to win the East. They're going to have a bye. You know, just assuming they just win a couple games this week, they're going to have a bye. They have a pretty decent cushion over the Brewers. It's a matter of, will they have the number one seed and home field advantage throughout? They've fallen a game now behind the Dodgers. So, Phillies, Cubs, three-game series starts tonight. One more win. And I know there was some confusion out there. Is it one or is it two, the magic number? It's one, because they won the season series against the Mets. If the Phillies win one more baseball game, or the Mets lose one more baseball game,
it's on.
It's over. The Phillies are the National League East champions for the first time since 2011. Hopefully tonight is tonight a Nola night? Nola's Mr. Clinch. I mean, they clinch when Nola pitches. I believe Nola is the starter tonight. I feel good that they're going to finish this thing tonight against the Chicago Cubs. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Lamar in Philly as we react to an Eagles victory, and I thought it was a good win. What's up, Lamar?
Lamar.
Hey, how you guys doing today, man? What's up, Hugh?
What's going on?
Not much. Quick question. I called you guys, Joe, last week, and I was saying that all the guys from the SEC just couldn't be that bad. That, I mean, they were all drafted high players. At what point is the scheme criticized? And I know a lot of you guys talked last week was just an effort thing, but I had 2 points today. I was at the game yesterday. Really good game the last 10 minutes of it, the first three quarters of. But for one, Hurts, he throws, I would say now he's throwing about 30 to 40 balls a game, Joe, right? Wouldn't the law of average say he's going to throw some interceptions? Maybe 3 or 4 or 5 out of 130, 140 passes?
So the law of averages, Lamar, would say that. Obviously, the more passes you throw, right, the more attempts you have, the more picks you're going to end up at the end of the year. So, but I'll tell you this about him. I'm pulling up his numbers right now.
He was 29 for 38, 311 yards.
With the pick. The issue is his interception percentage, Lamar. The percentage of passes he throws that turn into picks, that's what's changed over the years. So I'm going to give you the numbers. So in 2022, when they went to the Super Bowl and he was second in MVP, his interception percentage was 1.3. Last year was 2.8. So far this season, it's 3.9. Like, that number's too high. Like, 1.3 is probably not going to happen again. That was his best year. But we need this number, Lamar, to get back to the twos. You know, it can't be in the 4% range. That's a lot.
All right, well, I got two other points with you, Joe. One thing I will say is, my other point concerning Hurts is, to me, he's doing more of what you wouldn't get if you had a Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, you wouldn't get an interception. You would just keep getting buried because he'll keep taking sacks. So Hurts is trying to throw the ball out there, especially in the Green Bay game. They're ill-advised, but he's trying to make a play. I do agree he has to back down on that. But before you cut me off, I want Hugh's opinion on something I heard Rex Ryan say today, and I mentioned this last week in reference to the scheme when it came to Fangio. He said that the Dallas coach, defensive coordinator, was better than what he showed yesterday. He said, I don't understand defensive coordinators. If your base defense isn't working, you shouldn't be that stubborn to stay in that defense all game. Our defense yesterday, what I seen yesterday, Joe, I don't know if they did it the week prior, but every single time, I don't know what this even does, but they got set on the defensive line, and right before he snapped, the whole defensive line shifted. Now, I don't know what that does, Hugh. You could probably inform me on that, but it seems like they were getting pressure yesterday, and it seems like I did not see a lot of huff out there. So I'm not sure if that changed, if Fangio changed something, but to me, it was encouraging to see that he's at least willing to, because the rate we were going, I felt like, unless you score 30, we don't got a chance no week.
Yeah, so he did change it. And Lamar, we appreciate him. Hugh, he did change it. I mean, Bryce Huff
went
played.
Went to like a five-man front.
Five-man front. Now,
and then Bryce was out there early on. But I guess, like I said earlier, when the rubber hit the road.
He took him off.
He took him off the field.
He only played 18 snaps yesterday.
Yeah, he was getting – he did decent in the run game. But like I said, as the game got tight, he was on the sideline a lot because – you needed guys out there that were going to set the edge. And the bad part about Bryce Huff setting the edge, is, again, not using his hands, Joe. Like, he's stopping the forward momentum of the tight end and the tackle for the most part. But he's getting engulfed, and he's not keeping his outside shoulders free. So with that being said, he's somewhat of a liability right now. Once he learns how to do that, this he got better. I will say that. In the 18 snaps that I saw, the few snaps that I saw him on pass rush, he was more active in the pass rush game. It's a process for him. But he was better than he was the week before. But like I said, when the rubber hit the road, hey, you had to take him off the field. You had to put your dogs out there. You had to put your guys out there that you knew understood the assignment and got the assignment done.
Yeah, that you could trust. And right now, that's not where he is right now. Just to go back to the Jalen interception stuff, because he brought – and I think it's a fair point. People probably wonder, like, he is throwing the ball more now than he did early in his career. Some of this just part of the game, right? And I think some is. You throw the ball 40 times versus 20, you're more likely to have an interception. So Hurts has the sixth worst interception percentage in the NFL through three games. And so the middle of the pack, even if we want to say that's where we need him to be, in middle of the pack is C.J. Stroud, Baker Mayfield. About 2% of their passes have been picked off so far this season. Jalen is at almost 4%. It's almost double. I mean, he's got to throw less picks. I mean, it's just, I don't care if he throws the ball 50 times. We can't have multiple turnovers per game. And as far as passer rating so far this year, Jalen Hurts is 19th in the NFL. Again, more towards the middle than the top. And that's where he was last year. That's if the people out there, if you're one of the people that feels like, you know, Hurts is the same as he was last year, that's, it feels like it. It feels like it, the stats are not, you know, pointing to a great quarterback, but he did lead a game-winning drive yesterday. I do feel good about that win. Jake and Delco, what's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Jake, what's up, pal?
Nothing much, man. So I wanted to bring up yesterday the post-game show with Rob Ellis and some other guy.
Oh, it was Clay Harbor. Clay Harbor was on last night. Yep.
Clay Harbor.
Okay, sorry, Clay. I didn't know your name. I do now. So within like 2 or 3 minutes, Rob Ellis has that super serious, mad principal voice in a monotone going down through a litany of Sirianni's mistakes. Like literally 2 minutes after the game ended. It's like, can we celebrate for a second here? That was an exhilarating win. Do we hate Sirianni more than we love to win?
Can I ask you a question, Jake?
So I don't think Rob does. I mean, Rob loves the Eagles as much as anybody I know. I guess that's just the way he felt yesterday. But go ahead, you.
But Jake, if we'd have lost that game, what would you have called into the show and said? Like, what would have been your first thought?
I would have been right there with Sirianni. I wouldn't quite be on the Sirianni's got to go thing, but I would have been going down through a litany of errors that he made in the game.
So my question to you would be this. Why are you mad at Rob Ellis for fanning the way that he chooses to fan? Because he is a fan. And and that was – like, he's not the only one. Like, he wasn't the only one that felt that way. Because it – like, if you're being honest with yourself as an Eagles fan, it felt like we kind of – even though we won the game in the fashion that we won it, it felt like we dodged a bullet. Is that a fair assessment?
I hear you, Sue. I hear you. And as always, I respect your opinion very much.
And you know what, Jake? It's tough, man, because even I struggled with this morning. But part of the reason why I think, and I don't want to speak for Rob, but part of the reason why I feel like he feels that way is because, you know, we like to move on from last year and not talk about what happened last year. But didn't that feel eerily similar to how we were in that 10-game stretch from last year, and then the wheels fell off?
It did. Everything you're saying is right, Hugh, but my thing is that my Eagles fandom, my heart, with a win like that exhilarating Goddard catch, and then all that stuff, my heart kind of kicks in first, and I'm just so happy that they won. And then my head will kick in a little bit after that. It's like sometimes I feel like we don't let ourselves enjoy a win even for a minute.
I agree with that. I think sometimes I think we're almost spoiled, and Jake, we appreciate it. Hugh, I think we got spoiled watching the team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The NFL is not typically like that, where the games are over in the third quarter. That's more college football. They were so dominant 2 years ago, you know, 2022.
That you could walk away from the TV.
You could. And you felt like it was like, oh, it's a wrap. It's easy.
Yeah, kiss the baby.
Since then, it's become very hard, right? It's become a toss-up every game. It's become they make mistakes, they overcome it, or they don't. And you never feel great after the win. I mean, they did win yesterday. I mean, they won the football game.
But I can almost guarantee you that a lot of fans were torn with that sentiment, that that exact sentiment. And that's why my, my thing is this. You fan the way you fan.
Yep.
And that's the big thing. And Rob yesterday fanned the way that he fanned because I felt the same way that he did. I was not comfortable for the most part. I was happy about the win, and I was happy about the way the defense played. But the old head defensive player in me knows that, number one, you don't take those points at the half. We looking at a different football game. If we'd have taken the points, we're looking at a different football game. Like, everything changes. The dynamic of that game changes. The things that the Saints have to do change. So you have to take those points. And so I feel – that's why I feel like in the moment, you could feel like that. And I'm assuming, again, don't want to speak for Rob, that he was in the moment. He was still in that moment. And he was looking at it more so like, damn. And especially coming off the week we just had against the Atlanta Falcons, that's where he was. Well, and that's how he felt.
Sometimes it's also hard to flip the switch. Like, I think a lot of people up until the Goddard catch felt like they were going to lose the game. I mean, yeah. Like you're in loss mode in terms of your emotions. All of a sudden it's like, wait, we won? It's over? They got the victory? 215-592-9494. I did think, all things considered, though, it was a good win. Agree, disagree. We'll get to a bunch of your calls coming up. Good win. Your reaction to the game against the Saints. Plus, at 1:30, we'll go around the room with our biggest takeaways from week 3 in the NFL. That's next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Doubleheader alert. There's 2 NFL games tonight, and you have another chance for a big W on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports. Well, you'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet on tonight's game. All right, let's go with an anytime touchdown for Josh Allen. We'll go in over passing yards for Joe Burrow. Give me an anytime touchdown for Jaden Daniels, and I will take the Bills to cover the number. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, an official Sportsbook partner of the NFL. It's all right to feel all right. That's a good win yesterday on the road without Lane, without Devontae at the end, without A.J. Brown. It's a character win for the Eagles in spite of the coach and the turnovers by the quarterback. 215-592-9494.
Feel like a little spin, Joe.
It's a good win.
I feel like a little spin.
If you
spin,
told me before the game, in which they were underdogs, and very few people except for Hugh Douglas thought they'd win the game, that they'd be without Lane at the end, without Becton at the end, without Devontae at the end, obviously no Lane Johnson, they'd hold the Saints to 12 points, everyone in this city would have signed up for a win.
Like I said, you spun it. But what
but
if I told you?
Those are all facts. Those are facts.
But you did spin it to your narrative.
Well, that's what
but
I do.
What if I told
That's what I have to do here.
Okay, so I'm going to give you another. So what if I told you, from the small sampling size that we've seen, that the defense was going to be the one that saved the day in this game? Would you have believed that?
I would have said probably not today.
All right, yeah. So yeah, that's.
But I could be okay with that.
The defense played well. Or if I said, what if I told you that the coach of this, the coach of the Eagles, held this high-powered offense to 3 points at the half, and we were in position to kick a field goal, and we didn't, and we still won the game? Would you have believed that?
Yeah, I would have actually, because that's who Nick Sirianni is. None of this surprises me. I'm not surprised by any of this. I feel better than I did before yesterday because I didn't even know if this defense had it in them.
Did anybody ask him when he said, hey, that's on me? Did anybody say why? Where's Dave Uram when I need him? Where's Dave Uram?
We got to send him down and
we got to send him down and be like, why did you do that? What was your thought process in that moment?
So I've noticed this, and so Sirianni said to talk today, I believe, during the afternoon show. The questions about Sirianni's decision-making are usually a little more challenging in the week press conference. Like, after the game, it feels like everyone, I don't know, like, I don't know why. It just feels like everyone could settle down and ask some harder questions. I believe he'll get grilled today more than he did yesterday on that decision. Why he took it away from Kelmore. I think that's all coming at 3 o'clock today.
He should.
Like, I agree.
I just love how all of a sudden today, Joe, you're a win as a win guy. And if you want to do the whole, like, what if I told you thing, what if I told you that the quarterback turns it over twice and the head coach left like 9 points on the board with his decision making? Would you think you were feeling good today?
Well, you know what I would say to that? It must be a pretty good roster to overcome all that kind of stuff.
You think so?
Yeah. The defense is better than I thought it was. I didn't think they were capable of yesterday. That's why I feel better.
I didn't either. But, like, it's still the same things that are absolutely killing us every single game.
I agree.
Can't iron them out.
Well, I've accepted this is who the coach is. I mean, I you guys think something different.
Well, that doesn't make me feel good.
Well, that's fine, but I'm reacting to yesterday.
I'm starting to feel like this is who the quarterback is, too.
Well,
so it's like my big takeaways from the game are more negative than they are positive.
So you've accepted that the coach is a ninny?
Your words, not mine.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
What is a ninny? That's the old school.
Ninny
right?
Is a good ninny. One, yeah.
Ninny.
If you want to go to comps that have been thrown out of the show, could we possibly have a talented roster surrounded by the modern-day Barry Switzer and Jameis Winston? Maybe.
Make the decision. Make the decision.
It's possible. But a win, they got a win yesterday, okay? Can we just focus on the positives? I do. Greg in the Northeast, he's happy. What's up, Greg? He called this win, by the way.
Joe, Hugh, what's up?
What's up,
hey,
buddy?
Greg.
Like I said earlier, man, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Ooh, the Birds got the win. Yeah. That's what we did lately.
They got a win lately. That's what they did. They showed out the defense, Greg. They did it.
You got a win. Any win is a good win. Like, at least we didn't lose, you know? Like, we won. And then we had guys like Fred Johnson show up. I'm like, who in the heck is that?
How about Fred Johnson? They just rolled out another Johnson when Lane went out.
He showed up like a dog, and he showed up, and we won, man. That's all we asked.
They won the Fred Johnson game, and I got these guys over here critiquing it. They won the Fred Johnson game.
I'm gonna let you and Greg have y'all moment. I'm done with both of you.
They won the Fred Johnson game.
Like, Huff is still out there looking around. I don't know what's going on, but like our D tackle showed up. BG was all over the quarterback. Like
BG was awesome yesterday. He was awesome.
I'm happy, man. I am happy.
Old people are cool.
But after today, I'm done talking about the game, and I'm ready to move on to Tampa.
Turning that page.
Guess what's going to happen? We're going to go down to Tampa. We're going to put Baker on his back, and we're going to win the damn game.
Well, you know what? They are favorites in this game, Greg. We appreciate it.
Greg, we ain't turning the page.
No, we got lots to unpack on this one.
We're going to milk this one for a couple days.
Lots to unpack after that win. They did win the Fred Johnson game. He's not lying.
Hey, he lied.
It's not the Fred Johnson game.
Shout out to Coach Stoutland.
It officially is. So
the Jalen Carter game.
There is one person. You know, we keep saying Sirianni's off the hook and Jalen's off the hook. So is Bryce Huff. I mean, we are like his stat line through three games is a whole bunch of zeros.
Let me see.
I mean, that page is filled with zeros.
Let me look.
18 snaps yesterday. I don't believe he registered a statistic yesterday.
It's like how Blankenship saved C.J. Gardner-Johnson's ass because he got roasted by Olave on what should have been the game-winning touchdown, for being honest.
He didn't. I'm looking. Let me see, because, you know, I ain't got my glasses on. Let me make sure.
There was a lot of ass saving yesterday.
His name ain't on there. Zach Bond had 13 tackles yesterday, though.
Zach Bond played well. I have a question for you. When Hassan Reddick eventually does play football again, who will have more sacks the moment Reddick steps on the field, Huff or Reddick?
That's a good one.
It might be even. It might be a whole goose egg for both.
We're going into week three.
We're week four now.
We're week four with Hassan standing on business. Because weren't there was reports out there that something was going to be done this weekend.
There was,
And it don't feel like that has happened.
It was Hassan Reddick's birthday this weekend. Maybe that's what the report was about.
Like, yeah, my birthday weekend. I ain't coming to work.
I have a party to go to, guys.
How about this? I think Bryce Huff has a good, I think he gets a sack this weekend. I know this is early.
I know you've been on a heater lately. You've been on a heater with predictions.
Don't push it.
Yeah,
don't push it.
It's called showmanship. You quit while you're ahead on this one. Rick in Princeton. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. So to answer your question, they're going to be tied. Reddick and Huff will have the same number of sacks.
Zero.
Yeah. They start fresh. So the Eagles have won a game with a hangover, with jet lag. They've been embarrassed at home. And then a big win in the dome. So for the final preseason game, I need it to be like 32 degrees. I need cold. I need rain. And then we'll see what we have, right?
So I don't think that's a knock on Tampa anymore.
Probably not. Yeah, no, you're right about that. No, but it does feel like this is the last week, Rick, we could use the, well, they didn't have any preseason excuse. Like, this is now we're in week four coming up.
Exactly. You work out the kinks. You know, the defense, I mean, that was awesome. I actually felt confident in the defense for the first time this season. And, you know, offensively, it's going to take is what's happening with Lane Johnson and Devontae? Are they going to play or do I know?
I'm assuming, Nick, when he addresses the media today, we'll give an update. But, Rick, that's one of those things where it just goes by the protocol. And if they're cleared, they're cleared. But if they're not, you know, then they just, you know, they can't play.
And we need Fred Johnson, baby.
That's right. That Fred Johnson game 2.0 Sunday against the Bucs. Yeah, and Rick, man, we appreciate it. Hugh, this weekend against Tampa, they're favorites right now. We'll see how that line goes throughout the week. But
with all the injuries.
The injuries are significant. Now, I don't know. I mean, maybe Lane and Devontae make it back. What did you guys make of the Devontae play, by the way, when he got banged up? Because a lot of people were angry that it was a dirty play by the Saints.
It wasn't a dirty play. It was... The ref should have blew the whistle because forward progress was stopped.
So he caught that ball at the 36. If you go watch the replay of when he got crushed by the defender that was kind of flying in off the radar, I think he was at the 31. He got pushed 5 yards backwards. I mean, that's the definition of forward progress has been stopped.
But I will say this. The defender should have, what's the word, decorum, should have practiced a little bit more. I mean, he's tackled. There's no need for you to do that.
He was going in for a shot.
He was going in for the kill shot. Like, I understand, like, as a defender, you're taught to try to dislodge him from the football, but the play was already dead. So it was like no need for you to do that, in my opinion.
But the whistle wasn't blown. So the whistle wasn't blown,
but still, he's tackled.
He's going down.
Like, put it like this. I wouldn't have done it. Now, if it would have happened, I would have been well within my rights to do it.
Right, because the whistle wasn't blown.
But as a former defender and football player, that would have not been my first thought.
Well, I would hope most players wouldn't do that. I don't know if he went in with the intent to hit him in the head. My guess is he didn't.
He went in with the intent to hurt him.
He led with the crown of his helmet.
Right, like, but I'm just saying, like, when he was flying in, does he know Devontae's going to be contorted in that spot where he, I don't know what he was thinking.
He went to put a shot on him. Yeah,
I believe that.
He had bad intentions. No question about that.
Like, that's getting a targeting flag in college.
Like, why didn't he blow the whistle, though, the ref? Like,
I don't know. The refs are morons. They but, like,
5 yards of forward... forget forward progress. It's backwards for 5 yards. Yeah.
Like, he was trying to dislodge his head from his shoulders, not the football.
He was. That was a decleater.
You know how the NFL is able to send clips to the official?
To John Runyon?
To John Runyon. I would send that one, but I would point out the referee's mistake. I would, like, you got my guy almost killed here. I mean, Devontae might not be able to play this week.
I don't think the ref blowing the whistle would have stopped the dude from hitting him. I just think the ref's whistle would have compelled another referee to throw a flag on the hit. Because I think the hit was coming either way. Like, the dude was flying at Devontae. It was sort of bang-bang. I know it seemed really, like, really, really bad in slow-mo. But if you just watch the replay, it almost happens, like, pretty quickly. To where, like, I just think if there was a whistle being blown and then the hit happened, just, like, the timing of that would have forced another ref to be like, oh, crap, like, that's a penalty.
Yeah, perhaps it would have. All right, let's hit one more phone call, and then we'll get to our takeaways across the NFL in week number 3. Irene in Collinswood. Hey, Irene.
Hey, guys.
What's
hey,
up?
How you doing?
I'm good. So Kyle and I were talking, and we were talking about, you know, the win versus a good win.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take the win, but it's really, I think we got lucky. It's sort of like winning the lottery. You're not really, it's not really the best strategy for building good team wealth. We're not really making good judgments or good decisions on the field.
Well, I would agree that it's not sustainable to turn the ball over twice and to have the head coach, you know, make bozo calls. That's not going to work.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. I mean, I'm starting to think that Jalen is contractually obligated to throw at least one interception and one fumble.
Said contractually obligated. That's strong. That is strong.
Well, it just seems that way. And also, that scattering around the field when he just gets out of the pocket and he's running around, it just seems like he's playing tag. Trying to get away from, you know, people.
And it looks, that's
fine. You know, Irene, when he decides to run, like he puts his foot in the ground and goes, he could still get some yards. But when he just like you're saying, like dances back there, nothing good seems to come of that.
No, he's scampering around. It doesn't look, it's not any way a strategy for winning games. And my concern is that we're depending on this win-win mentality, that win is just a win mentality and get at not doing the things. I mean, Jalen has a commercial for Lincoln Financial where he talks about making an investment and putting in the work. And I'm like, what kind of investment are we making in our team if we're not really, I mean, I don't want to lose, but it would be better sometimes to have a better loss, that we earned that loss. We played, we did everything right. We didn't turn over the ball and really felt good about a loss. This win is like, yeah, W is a W. We got the win. Move forward. But we're not, like I said, we're not working on making good judgments. Sirianni's decision making was terrible, just terrible. I mean, it's like he's throwing darts at his playbook.
I agree with you. It doesn't feel like there's rhyme or reason, Irene, to what he does. And to the point you made about sometimes a loss is better, I feel like, and Irene, we appreciate it. Last year, it was tough for them to accept what they were because they kept winning, and then it just crashed fast on them. And this year, I mean, they're 2-1. They do have the loss last Monday that hopefully they learned from the mistakes they figured out. All right, let's look at the NFL yesterday. Week number 3, what hit us along with the Eagles winning? What continues to hit me is that the NFC East, as much as the Eagles have issues, I still believe this division could be 1-9-8.
Yeah.
Dallas is not any good. I mean, Dallas was down 3 scores at home to the Ravens. They've
what
now
have
lost,
I done to deserve this?
They've lost 2 straight home games to start this season. Their one win looks less impressive by the day because it was the Browns they beat, and the Browns just stink. I don't think it's a good division. The Giants won yesterday, but we know what they are. That's a 5 or 6 win team. I think the Commanders are decent, but I don't think they're good enough to get to 10 or 11 wins. 9 wins wins the NFC East.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But since we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know if you saw the video that Jamie Foxx had with
Jerry Jones. Oh, I saw.
It's coming. Like when I told you, like before the season started, like y'all talk about batting 1,000. Didn't I tell y'all? I told y'all before the season started. Jerry Jones is going to have a viral moment.
Mm.
That's not the one, though, people. That is not the one.
That's relatively mild.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? That's not the one. It's still coming. He's on his way.
It's pretty remarkable that that's considered mild these days.
Yeah,
but I guess
for Jerry it is.
Yeah, for Jerry it's mild.
I think the thing that I took away from,
he's capable of.
From the NFL this weekend is that, like I said last week, I think the Falcons got a pretty darn good football team. They played the Kansas City Chiefs tough. Now, I know Howard called in and said that, you know, there were some ugly wins by the Kansas City Chiefs. And there was a lot of controversy with that last call, whether or not it was holding or whatnot. The refs kind of bailed them out.
Mm-hmm.
People have been feeling that way about them all season long. But look like the Atlanta Falcons, that win last week doesn't feel as bad with the way that they played the Kansas City Chiefs.
Time out.
What?
Because I called out this strategy by you in week one.
What are you talking about? What strategy?
This is your guess that takes. From Friday.
Oh, and then he just
what
says
the
it.
Talking heads will be saying about the rest of the league.
I didn't know what
and then
was.
Hugh comes on and goes, this is the take.
What are you talking about?
So basically, you're the reason you're batting 1,000.
So it's like on Friday, we guess what everyone's talking about,
yeah.
Right? And if I say to you on this Friday, next Monday, everyone's going to say the sky is green. And then I come
so
in here Monday.
I make it right.
You make it right. If I come in here Monday and say the sky is green, everyone's like, he's right.
It's a good strategy.
But wait a minute.
But they lost.
But am I lying, though?
They lost.
But did they play well? They played well.
They looked better than they.
Yeah. So I'm not lying. Yeah, what are you talking about?
They lost. They lost.
I'm on to you, is all,
they
dude. I'm so on to you.
That's a good.
How dare you accuse me of this?
He saw right through this. All right, Kyle, what did you take away from yesterday?
Dude, what is up with the Browns?
They stink.
I mean, Deshaun Watson is really, really bad. That, I guess I'm not really breaking any, like, news here. That is going to go down as the worst contract in NFL history.
Yes.
And I'm only hoping.
He fleeced everybody.
That they try to milk this thing until after the Eagles game. Because I would much rather face Deshaun Watson than Jameis Winston.
Big creepy.
Which is crazy.
Oh, I agree with you. Let's hope we get Deshaun Watson here in a few weeks. All right, one more thing hit me yesterday. Hugh, I'm wondering if we're about to see a shift in how teams operate, and we're going to see less rookie quarterbacks play and more veterans. Have you noticed this? The second chance guys, Sam Darnold, Geno's been doing it for a few years now, Geno Smith, but this year it's Sam Darnold's right. He's the guy now, right?
Yeah.
8 touchdowns, they're 3-0. I wonder if the NFL's about to stop throwing the rookies out there because Bryce Young was awful last season, and he got benched already this year. And look, Andy Dalton, back in, plays better. Caleb Williams, who everyone said, oh, the next great thing, Caleb Williams. He looks like crap so far. And
I haven't even watched the Chicago game, but yeah, I'm hearing bad things about
him. I'm not saying his career's over. I just wonder if we're going to go to a point where, remember the way it used
Justin
to be?
Justin Fields.
Yeah, Justin Fields. Right? I wonder if we're going to get to a point where teams are going to say, I'm not playing a rookie anymore. I'm going to give these guys time to develop. Because the veterans are better. Andy Dalton was just sitting around for a year, just sitting there watching Bryce Young stink. He goes in there yesterday. They lit it up, and they won right away. Same team, same players. I think we could come back soon to the veterans playing and the rookies sitting because the veterans are better.
Well, I think there's two things that you look at in a situation like that, especially at the quarterback position. I've always been of the mindset that it takes 4 games for a defense to figure out a young quarterback or a new quarterback.
Mm.
So the success Andy Dalton is having is because nobody's seen him in a while, and they don't know what his skill set is.
He went right in.
No, he did.
And completed passes.
You know who else did that and had a nice run in the NFL when he did it? Kevin Cobb had like the best 4-game stretch or 3, whatever the stretch was when Donovan got hurt in the NFL. So much so he broke a record. And as far as the second part of that goes, Joe, when you talk about young quarterbacks, financially it's going to be impossible.
But the Chiefs did it.
Yeah, they because they had the luxury to do it.
I know.
Because they had a serviceable quarterback that was coming off a playoff win.
The Packers did it.
And Andy Reid moved up to get him.
Yes, I think it's smarter to do it that way.
No, it is. But when you talk about these number one overall first-round draft picks, number one overall.
Like Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Like, you have to justify taking that pick. And the fact that the Chicago Bears did what they did. Look at Justin Fields. And I said last year, I was like, I think he can still play. Being in the right system helps out a lot. Being married to the right coordinator helps out a lot. Now you see him struggling a little bit. I think the timing of the game is a lot faster for him, where it has to slow down for him. But he's under a lot of pressure because coming into this season – the Chicago Bears felt like they were going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, they're not.
Realistically, they felt that way, and they're not.
They're the worst team in their own division.
I just feel like there are outlier cases where like guys like Bryce
CJ Stroud.
Well, like no, so I was going the other way. I think Bryce Young just stinks.
I do too,
and that's why Andy Dalton was able to step in and look good. But it really depends. Like, how much of it comes down to the ability to protect the quarterback. Like Caleb Williams, they put him out there with a really bad offensive line.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a good situation for him. The Patriots are holding Drake May out, and I think it's smart now because having watched the Patriots for a few weeks, Jacoby Brissett's out there getting murdered. Like, Drake May would be in a terrible situation being out there with that line.
That's what Doug Peterson was for Donovan. Doug was that for Donovan. Doug came in and struggled until Donovan was ready to go. And that's normally how it's done, but these guys make way too much money now to let them sit on the bench.
This also gives me hope if the Eagles need Kenny Pickett. Because Kenny Pickett, to start his career, is not any worse than Sam Darnold was to start his career. He's not any worse than Geno Smith was. Look at those guys now. I think there's an assumption that Pickett can't play if we needed him. I don't know. Maybe as he develops in his second chance, he can help the team if they need him. 215-592-9. All right, DeFuel, all right? That's a good win yesterday on the road without Lane, without Devontae at the end, without A.J. Brown. It's a character win for the Eagles in spite of the coach and the turnovers by the quarterback. 215-592-9494.
Feel like a little spin, Joe.
It's a good win. With spin.
I feel like a little spin.
If you
spin,
told me before the game, which in which they were underdogs, and very few people except for Hugh Douglas thought they'd win the game, that they'd be without Lane at the end, without Becton at the end, without Devontae at the end, obviously no Lane Johnson, they'd hold the Saints to 12 points. Everyone in this city would have signed up for
a
win.
Like I said, you spun it. But what
but
if I told you?
Those are all facts. Those are facts.
But you did spin it to your narrative.
Well, that's what
but
I do.
What if I told
That's what I have to do here.
Okay, so I'm going to give you another. So what if I told you, from the small sapling size that we've seen, that the defense was going to be the one that saved the day in this game? Would you have believed that?
I would have said probably not today.
All right, yeah. So yeah, that's.
But I mean, I could be okay with that.
The defense played well. Or if I said, what if I told you that the coach of the Eagles held this high-powered offense to 3 points at the half, and we were in position to kick a field goal, and we didn't, and we still won the game? Would you have believed that?
Yeah, I would have actually, because. That's who Nick Sirianni is. None of this surprises me. I'm not surprised by any of this. I feel better than I did before yesterday because I didn't even know if this defense had it in them.
Did anybody ask him when he said, hey, that's on me? Did anybody say why? Where's Dave Uram when I need him? Where's Dave Uram?
We got to send him down and done
the
road games.
We got to send him down and be like, why did you do that? What was your thought process in that moment?
So I've noticed this, and so Sirianni said to talk today, I believe, during the afternoon show. The questions about Sirianni's decision-making are usually a little more challenging in the week press conference. Like, after the game, it feels like everyone, I don't know, like, I don't know why. It just feels like everyone could settle down and ask some harder questions. I believe he'll get grilled today more than he did yesterday on that decision. Why he took it away from Kelmore. I think that's all coming at 3 o'clock today.
He should. Like,
I agree.
I just love how all of a sudden today, Joe, you're a win is a win guy. And if you want to do the whole, like, what if I told you thing, what if I told you that the quarterback turned it over twice and the head coach left like 9 points on the board with his decision making? Would you think you were feeling good today?
Well, you know what I would say to that? It must be a pretty good roster to overcome all that kind of stuff.
You think so?
Yeah. The defense is better than I thought it was. I didn't think they were capable of yesterday. That's why I feel better.
I didn't either. But, like, it's still the same things that are absolutely killing us every single game.
I agree.
We can't iron them out.
Well, I've accepted this is who the coach is. I mean, I you guys think something different.
Well, that doesn't make me feel good.
Well, that's fine, but I'm reacting to yesterday.
I'm starting to feel like this is who the quarterback is, too.
Well,
so it's like my big takeaways from the game are more negative than they are positive.
So you've accepted that the coach is a ninny?
Your words, not mine.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
What is a ninny? That's the old school.
Ninny
right?
Is a good ninny. One, yeah.
Ninny.
If you want to go to comps that have been thrown out of the show, could we possibly have a talented roster surrounded by the modern-day Barry Switzer and Jameis Winston?
Nah.
Maybe.
Make the decision.
Yeah,
make the decision.
Maybe.
Make the decision.
Possible. But a win, they got a win yesterday. Okay, can we just focus on the positives?
I don't give a shit.
I do. Greg in the Northeast, he's happy. What's up, Greg? He called this win, by the way.
Joe, Hugh, what's up?
What's up,
hey,
man?
Greg.
Said earlier, man. What have you done for me lately?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Ooh, the Birds got the win. Yeah. That's what we did lately.
They got a win lately. That's what they did. They showed out the defense, Greg. They did it.
You got a win. Any win is a good win. Like, at least we didn't lose, you know? Like, we won. And then we had guys like
Fred Johnson show up. I'm like, who in the heck is that?
How about Fred Johnson? They just rolled out another Johnson when Lane went out.
He dog, and he showed up, and we won, man. That's all we asked.
They won the Fred Johnson game, and I got these guys over here critiquing it. They won the Fred Johnson game.
I'm gonna let you and Greg have y'all moment. I'm done with both of you.
They won the Fred Johnson game.
Like, Huff is still out there looking around. I don't know what's going on, but like our D-tackle showed up. BG was all over the quarterback. Like
BG was awesome yesterday. He was awesome.
I'm happy, man. I am happy.
Oh, people are cool.
But after today, I'm done talking about the game, and I'm ready to move on to Tampa.
Turning that page.
Guess what's going to happen? We're going to go down to Tampa. We're going to put Baker on his back, and we're going to win the damn game.
Well, you know what? They are favorites in this game. Greg, we appreciate it.
Hey, Greg, we ain't turning the page.
We got lots to unpack on this one.
We're going to milk this one for a couple days.
Lots to unpack after that win. They did win the Fred Johnson game. He's not lying.
Hey, he lied.
It's not the Fred Johnson game.
Shout out to Coach Stoutland.
It officially is. So
the Jalen Carter game.
There is one person. You know, we keep saying Sirianni's off the hook and Jalen's off the hook. So is Bryce Huff. I mean, we are like his stat line through three games is a whole bunch of zeros.
Let me see.
I mean, is filled with zeros.
Let me look.
18 snaps yesterday. I don't believe he registered a statistic yesterday.
It's like how Blankenship saved C.J. Gardner-Johnson's ass because he got roasted by Olave on what should have been the game-winning touchdown. For being honest,
he didn't. I'm looking. Let me see because you know I ain't got my glasses on. Let me make sure.
There was a lot of ass saving yesterday.
His name ain't on there. Zach Bond had 13 tackles yesterday, though.
Zach Bond played well. I have a question for you. When Hassan Reddick eventually does play football again, who will have more sacks the moment Reddick steps on the field, Huff or Reddick?
That's a good one.
It might be even. It might be a whole goose egg for both.
We're going into week three.
We're week four now.
With Hassan standing on business. Because weren't there was reports out there that something was going to be done this weekend.
There was, yeah.
And it don't feel like that has happened.
It was Hassan Reddick's birthday this weekend. Maybe that's what the report was about.
Like, yeah, my birthday weekend.
He was busy.
I ain't coming to work.
I have a party to go to, guys.
How about this? I think Bryce Huff has a good – I think he gets a sack this weekend.
I know you've been on a heater lately. You've been on a heater with predictions.
Don't push it.
Yeah,
don't push it.
It's called showmanship. You quit while you're ahead on this one. Rick in Princeton. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. So to answer your question, they're going to be tied. Reddick and Huff will have the same number of sacks.
Zero.
Yeah. They start fresh. So the Eagles have won a game with a hangover, with jet lag. They've been embarrassed at home. And then a big win in the dome. So for the final preseason game, I need it to be like 32 degrees. I need cold. I need rain. And then we'll see what we have, right?
I don't think that's a knock on Tampa anymore.
Probably not. Yeah, no, you're right about that. It does feel like this is the last week, Rick, we could use the, well, they didn't have any preseason excuse. Like this is, now we're in week four coming up.
Exactly. You work out the kinks. You know, the defense, I mean, that was awesome. I actually felt confident in the defense for the first time this season. And, you know, offensively, it's going to take is what's happening with Lane Johnson and Devontae. Are they going to play or do I know?
I'm assuming, Nick, when he addresses the media today, we'll give an update. But, Rick, that's one of those things where it just goes by the protocol. And if they're cleared, they're cleared. But if they're not, you know, then they just, you know, they can't play.
And we need Fred Johnson, baby.
That's right. That Fred Johnson game 2.0 Sunday against the Bucs. Yeah, and Rick, man, we appreciate it. Hugh, this weekend against Tampa, they're favorites right now. We'll see how that line goes throughout the week. But with all the injuries, the injuries are significant. Now, I don't know. I mean, maybe Lane and Devontae make it back. What did you guys make of the Devontae play, by the way, when he got banged up? Because a lot of people were angry that it was a dirty play by the Saints.
It wasn't a dirty play. It was... The ref should have blew the whistle because forward progress was stopped.
So he caught that ball at the 36. Yeah. If you go watch the replay of when he got crushed by the defender that was kind of flying in off the radar, I think he was at the 31. He got pushed 5 yards backwards. I mean, that's the definition of forward progress has been stopped.
But I will say this. The defender should have practiced a little bit more. I mean, he's tackled. There's no need for you to do that.
He was going in for a shot.
Yeah, he was going in for the kill shot. Like, I understand, like, as a defender,
you're taught to try to dislodge him from the football, but the play was already dead. So it was like no need for you to do that, in my opinion.
But the whistle wasn't blown. So
no, the whistle wasn't blown, but still, he's tackled.
He's going down.
He's going down. Like put it like this, I wouldn't have done it. Now, if it would have happened, I would have been well within my rights to do it.
Right, because the whistle wasn't blown.
But as a former defender and football player, that would have not been my first thought.
Well, I would hope most players wouldn't do that. I don't know if he went in with the intent to hit him in the head. My guess is he didn't.
He went with the intent to hurt him.
Hurt him.
He led with the crown of his helmet.
Right, like, but I'm just saying, like, when he was flying in, does he know Devontae's going to be contorted in that spot where I don't know what he's thinking.
He went to hurt him. He went to put a shot on him. Yeah,
I believe that.
He lowered, had bad intentions. No
question
about
that.
Like,
that's getting a targeting flag in college.
Like, why didn't he blow the whistle, though, the ref? Like,
I don't know. The refs are morons. They were
5 yards of forward. Forget forward progress. It's backwards for 5 yards. Yeah.
Like, he was trying to dislodge his head from his shoulders, not the football.
He was. That was a decleater.
You know how the NFL is able to send clips to the official?
To John Runyon?
To John Runyon. I would send that one, but I would point out the referee's mistake. I would, like, you got my guy almost killed here. I mean, Devontae might not be able to play this week.
I don't think the ref blowing the whistle would have stopped the dude from hitting him. I just think the ref's whistle would have compelled another referee to throw a flag on the hit. Because I think the hit was coming either way. Like, the dude was flying at Devontae. It was sort of bang-bang. I know it seemed really bad in slow-mo. But if you just watch the replay, it almost happens, like, pretty quickly. To where, like, I just think if there was a whistle being blown and then the hit happened, just, like, the timing of that would have forced another ref to be like, oh, crap, like, that's a penalty.
Yeah, perhaps it would have. All right, let's hit one more phone call, and then we'll get to our takeaways across the NFL in week number 3. Irene in Collinswood. Hey, Irene.
Hey, guys.
What's
up?
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm good. So Kyle and I were talking, and we were talking about, you know, the win versus a good win.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take the win, but it's really... I think we got lucky. It's sort of like winning the lottery. It's not really the best strategy for building good team wealth. We're not really making good judgments or good decisions on the field.
And well, I would agree that it's not sustainable to turn the ball over twice and to have the head coach, you know, make bozo calls. That's not going to work.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. I mean, I'm starting to think that Jalen is contractually obligated to throw at least one interception and one fumble per game.
She said contractually obligated. That's strong. That is strong.
It just seems that way. And also, that scattering around the field when he just gets out of the pocket and he's running around, it just seems like he's playing tag and trying to get away from, you know, people.
That's fine.
Irene, when he decides to run, like he puts his foot in the ground and goes, he could still get some yards. But when he just like you're saying, like dances back there, nothing good seems to come of that.
No, he's scampering around. It doesn't look. It's not any way a strategy for winning games. And my concern is that we're depending on this win-win mentality. That win is just a win mentality, and get at not doing the things. I mean, Jalen has a commercial for Lincoln Financial where he talks about making an investment and putting in the work. And I'm like, what kind of investment are we making in our team if we're not really, I mean, I don't want to lose, but it would be better sometimes to have a better loss, that we earned that loss. We played, we did everything right. We didn't turn over the ball and really felt good about a loss. This win is like, yeah, W is a W. We got the win. Move forward. But we're not, like I said, we're not working on making good judgments. Sirianni's decision making was terrible, just terrible. I mean, it's like he's throwing darts at his playbook.
I agree with you. It doesn't feel like there's rhyme or reason, Irene, to what he does. And to the point you made about sometimes a loss is better, I feel like, and Irene, we appreciate it. Last year, it was tough for them to accept what they were because they kept winning, and then it just crashed fast on them. And this year, I mean, they're 2-1. They do have the loss last Monday that hopefully they learned from the mistakes they figured out. All right, let's look at the NFL yesterday. Week number 3, what hit us along with the Eagles winning? What continues to hit me is that the NFC East, as much as the Eagles have issues, I still believe this division could be 1-9-8.
Yeah,
Dallas is not any good. I mean, Dallas was down 3 scores at home to the Ravens.
What have I done to deserve this?
They've lost 2 straight home games to start this season. Their one win looks less impressive by the day because it was the Browns they beat, and the Browns just stink. I don't think it's a good division. The Giants won yesterday, but we know what they are. That's a 5 or 6 win team. I think the Commanders are decent, but I don't think they're good enough to get to 10 or 11 wins. 9 wins wins the NFC East.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But since we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know if you saw the video that Jamie Foxx had with Jerry Jones.
Oh, I saw.
It's coming. Like when I told you, like before the season started, like y'all talk about batting 1,000. Didn't I tell y'all? I told y'all before the season started. Jerry Jones is going to have a viral moment.
Mm.
That's not the one, though, people. That is not the one.
That's relatively mild.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean? That's not the one. It's still coming. He's on his way.
Pretty remarkable that that's considered mild these days.
Yeah,
but I guess
for Jerry it is.
Yeah, for Jerry it's mild.
I think the thing that I took away from,
he's capable of.
From the NFL this weekend is that, like I said last week, I think the Falcons got a pretty darn good football team. They played the Kansas City Chiefs tough. Now, I know Howard called in and said that, you know, there were some ugly wins by the Kansas City Chiefs. And there was a lot of controversy with that last call, whether or not it was holding or whatnot. The refs kind of bailed them out.
Mm-hmm.
People have been feeling that way about them all season long. But look like the Atlanta Falcons, that win last week doesn't feel as bad with the way that they played the Kansas City Chiefs.
Timeout.
What?
Because I called out this strategy by you. In week one.
What are you talking about? What's right?
This is your guess the takes from Friday.
Oh, and then he just says
what the talking heads will be saying about the rest of the league.
I didn't know what he was.
And then Hugh comes on and goes, this is the take.
What are you talking about?
So basically, you're the reason you're batting 1,000.
So it's like on Friday, we guess what everyone's talking about,
yeah.
Right? And if I say to you on this Friday, next Monday, everyone's going to say the sky is green. And then I come in here Monday.
I make it right.
You make it right. If I come in here Monday and say the sky is green, everyone's like, he's right.
It's a good strategy.
But wait a minute.
But they lost.
But am I lying, though? But did they play well? They played well.
They looked better than they.
Yeah. So I'm not lying. What are you talking about?
They lost.
I'm on to you, is all,
they
dude. I'm so on to you.
That's a good.
How dare you accuse me of this?
He saw right through this. All right, Kyle, what did you take away from yesterday?
Dude, what is up with the Browns?
They stink.
I mean, Deshaun Watson is really, really bad. I guess I'm not really breaking any like news here. That is going to go down as the worst contract in NFL history.
Yes.
And I'm only hoping
he fleeced everybody
that they try to milk this thing until after the Eagles game, because I would much rather face Deshaun Watson than Jameis Winston.
Big creepy,
which is crazy to
say. I agree with you. Let's hope we get to Sean Watson in a few weeks. All right, one more thing hit me yesterday. Hugh, I'm wondering if we're about to see a shift in how teams operate, and we're going to see less rookie quarterbacks play and more veterans. Have you noticed this? The second chance guys, Sam Darnold, Geno's been doing it for a few years now, Geno Smith, but this year, Sam Darnold's right. He's the guy now, right?
Yeah.
8 touchdowns, they're 3-0. I wonder if the NFL's about to stop throwing the rookies out there because Bryce Young was awful last season, and he got benched already this year. And look, Andy Dalton, back in, plays better. Caleb Williams, who everyone said, oh, the next great thing, Caleb Williams. He looks like crap so far.
I haven't even watched the Chicago game, but yeah, I'm hearing bad things about
it. I'm not saying his career's over. I just wonder if we're going to go to a point where, remember the way it used to be?
Justin Fields.
Right. I wonder if we're going to get to a point where teams are going to say, I'm not playing a rookie anymore. I'm going to give these guys time to develop. Because the veterans are better. Andy Dalton was just sitting around for a year, just sitting there watching Bryce Young stink. He goes in there yesterday. They lit it up, and they won right away. Same team, same players. I think we could come back soon to the veterans playing and the rookies sitting because the veterans are better.
Well, I think there's two things that you look at in a situation like that, especially at the quarterback position. I've always been of the mindset that it takes 4 games for a defense to figure out a young quarterback or a new quarterback.
Mm.
So the success Andy Dalton is having is because nobody's seen him in a while, and they don't know what his skill set is.
Yeah, but you got it, man. He went right in.
No, he did.
And completed passes.
You know who else did that and had a nice run in the NFL when he did it? Kevin Cobb had like the best 4-game stretch or 3, whatever the stretch was when Donovan got hurt in the NFL. So much so he broke a record. And as far as the second part of that goes, Joe, when you talk about young quarterbacks, financially it's going to be impossible.
But the Chiefs did it.
Yeah, they because they had the luxury to do it.
I know.
Because they had a serviceable quarterback that was coming off of playoff wins.
The Packers did it.
And Andy Reid moved up to get him.
Yes, I think it's smarter to do it that way.
No, it is. But when you talk about these number one overall first-round draft picks, number one overall.
Like Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Like, you have to justify taking that pick. And the fact that the Chicago Bears did what they did. Look at Justin Fields. And I remember I said last year, I was like, I think he can still play. Being in the right system helps out a lot. Being married to the right coordinator helps out a lot. Now you see him struggling a little bit. I think the timing of the game is a lot faster for him, where it has to slow down for him. But he's under a lot of pressure because coming into the season, the Chicago Bears felt like they were going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, they're not.
Realistically, they felt that way, and they're not.
They're the worst team in their own division.
I just feel like there are outlier cases where, like, guys like Bryce.
CJ Stroud?
Well, like, no, so I was going the other way. I think Bryce Young just stinks.
I do, too.
And that's why Andy Dalton was able to step in and look good. But it really depends, like, how much of it comes down to the ability to protect the quarterback. Like, Caleb Williams, they put him out there with a really bad offensive line.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a good situation for him. The Patriots are holding Drake May out, and I think it's smart now because having watched the Patriots for a few weeks, Jacoby Brissett's out there getting murdered. Like, Drake May would be in a terrible situation being out there with that line.
That's what Doug Peterson was for Donovan. Doug was that for Donovan. Doug came in and struggled until Donovan was ready to go. And that's normally how it's done, but these guys make way too much money now to let them sit on the bench.
This also gives me hope if the Eagles need Kenny Pickett. Because Kenny Pickett, to start his career, is not any worse than Sam Darnold was to start his career. He's not any worse than Geno Smith was. Look at those guys now. I think there's an assumption that Pickett can't play if we needed him. I don't know. Maybe as he develops in his second chance, he can help the team if they need him. 215-592-9.